to the three people listening to the Alcohol and Addiction Podcast around the world. It's time! Introducing first, with a professional record of 3.3 million confirmed kills per year, hailing from all parts of the world, the invisible, the dominant, the violent belief system known as alcoholism. And now, the moment none of you have been waiting for. The man who has beaten addictions in every weight class, with his only professional defeat being his inability to stop talking over his guests. Hailing from Starbucks joints around the world, he is not an alcoholic. He refuses to be anonymous. He doesn't drink alcohol and spends every waking moment helping other people do the same. Your host, Mr. Lee Davey.
He's picking up cigarette butts off the floor. One, two, three. Once upon a time, that man was me, rummaging through the lipstick-smeared butts, 4:13 in the morning, all the shops shut, the coin-operated car washes sleeping underneath the stars. Me, I was that man. Standing outside Po Wings, forkless, digging into the chow mein, fingers for chopsticks. I was that man. An open door, a child explodes like a volcano, gripping my trouser leg. Play with me, play with me, play with me. In a bit, son. I blink. It's time to take him to bed. A few pages of The Hobbit, and now I was back adding to the dirty dishes. No blush, no red, nothing but a mind dead. I was that man. My love, my beautiful love, where is she? A back full of love bites, and now nothing but fights. I think I heard a scream, a shout. I look around the house and I see nothing but doubt. Tears stream down my face like they've eaten a fresh pear. I can't do it. I can't let go of the corkscrew. I do not dare. I am that man. A golf course full of mates holding clubs, staring at me, watching for my next move before they decide to play the ball or me. I am something. I am someone. I am that man. But who am I without a bottle in my hand? Who am I if I'm not pogoing before the band? Checkmate. The king has been on its side for a decade and I still can't begin a new game. Fear. Fear of life itself. Fear of being found out. Fear of falling off the monkey bars. Fear of all those memoirs. The cigarette butts, the Chinese takeaways, the son running around the house craving love, the woman silently screaming at the end of the fingers of Edvard Munch. There is no free lunch, it's time for the crunch. I can no longer be that man, I don't want to be that man. But how, God, someone, anyone, how? And I'm not alone. Striver Karen asks, how do I become someone that doesn't drink alcohol? And that's what we try to figure out in today's podcast.
Welcome to the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I am not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. And I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol. I want to answer a question from Karen. Karen's just joined the email list over at thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk. And one of the questions that we ask on the opt-in is, if you could ask one question about how alcohol is bothering you, what would it be? And I can't even remember my own question. Man, I'm getting old. It's something around what is a question that you want to ask about becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol? That is the question. And Karen wrote, how is it possible? Okay, so Karen, how is it possible to be someone that doesn't drink alcohol? Well, first and foremost, please know that it is possible. I have been someone that doesn't drink alcohol since 2009. Prior to 2009, I was a complete and utter lush. There wasn't a day that would go by that I wouldn't be drinking. On the weekends, I would just hit it hard. And I am now someone who doesn't drink alcohol, and I've been that way for over a decade. And if you were a member of Strive and spent any significant time in and around our community and movement, you would get to meet many, many other people who do not drink alcohol. And if you expand that outside of Strive and you go and visit places like Annie Grace's community over at This Naked Mind, if you check out Holly Whitaker's work at Hip Sobriety, Andy Ramage over at 1 Year No Beer, if you went to AA, for example, I had dinner not long ago with a wonderful man called George, who was 80 and had not been drinking alcohol for 35 years, all right? Still going to meet you to 80 years of age. So it is possible, right? That's the first thing. So you can take great comfort in knowing that other beings of flesh and blood, the same as you, are able to do this, right? And that is really important, because there are no physical constraints here, okay? There are no physical constraints. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're big or tall. It doesn't matter if you're healthy or not. There are no physical constraints that are going to stop you from becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol. And there's no intellectual constraints either. It doesn't matter if you have a high IQ of, I don't even know what IQ scores are. It doesn't matter if you have a high IQ or a low IQ. It's completely irrelevant. It's all psychological. And it's all finding the right people to guide you, finding the right mentors, finding the right community, etc., etc. So the first thing that you need to focus on is understanding the truth about alcohol, okay? Understanding why is it that you drink alcohol, and why is it that you find it so difficult to stop, all right? That is the first thing that you really need to get your head around. And for me, what helped me to become someone who doesn't drink alcohol, and the philosophy that I teach at True About Alcohol, is that we don't really have a choice, right? We didn't have a choice. We didn't make a conscious choice when it came to becoming someone that drank alcohol, right? It was just something that we did. We were designed from birth to be people that drank alcohol. On the weekend, I'll be going to my son's 18th birthday party. And at that 18th birthday party, everybody in that room, except for me, will be desperately trying to shove alcohol down his throat. And he will be ready to receive it, because he has been designed from birth in the environment and by the behaviors of his parents, of which I am one, that drinking alcohol is perfectly normal. And it's more than perfectly normal. It's a really vital component in his life if he is going to become an influential member of his tribe. And we all know how important status is, and being a part of a tribe is really important to us, right? So that's the first thing to understand, is that we've been designed from birth. Now, how does that even happen? Well, it happens because of something that I call an invisible and violent and dominant belief system called alcoholism, all right? And you can learn more about that by listening to these podcasts, by reading my blog post, by joining Strive, or taking part in the experiences of the taster and the intensive, right? Now, alcoholism is an invisible, violent, dominant belief system. How does that work? Well, it is a violent belief system, because alcohol kills 3.3 million people a year and is one of the causal factors in over 200 illnesses and diseases, right? And if you want to kind of localize that a little bit, just go down your town centre on a Saturday night and have a look at the carnage, or pop down to your accident and emergency ward to see how violent alcohol is, right? It is dominant because, according to the World Health Organization report in 2014, 52% of those people spoken to, had at one point in their life drank alcohol. But again, if we localize it and you look around your neighborhood or you make a list of the top 20 people you spend the most time with, you'll find that most of them, if not all of them, drink alcohol. So it's dominant. It's invisible, the belief system is invisible, because despite the fact that it's killing so many people, we're not doing anything about it other than lapping it up. Alcohol is a drug. It's one of the top five most addictive drugs in the world, and it's the one drug that where we are actively encouraged to take it and we are ostracized from the community if we don't. Okay, so that is the truth around alcohol and why we're drinking. So we need to understand that truth. We need to accept that truth, okay? The other part of the truth equation is, what is the other part of the truth equation? Lost my train of thought. It will come to me, Karen. It will come to me. Yes, the other part of the truth part of this equation is that we believe that we drink alcohol for a wide variety of different reasons, right? So we if you take the taster, for example, our monthly experience, we have an assignment there called the seven sins of sobriety, okay? Where we outline seven reasons why we believe we drink alcohol. I'm probably not even going to get them all off the top of my head, but it's things like, I drink alcohol because it tastes nice. I drink alcohol because it helps me black out or numb my feelings. I drink alcohol because it helps improve my social situation. I drink alcohol because it relieves boredom. I drink alcohol because it relaxes me. I drink alcohol because it removes my inhibitions, and that is a good thing, you know? So those are the type of reasons why we think that we drink alcohol. But if that was the case, by the time you come to something like the truth about alcohol, or strive or listen to this podcast, then you would just stop it, right? Well, let's say, for example, you think you're drinking alcohol because you love the taste of it. Let's say you're one of these people who've been seduced into the real ale business, or the new gin phenomenon that's running around the world right now. Let's say you've been seduced into that. Then if it was that straightforward, you would just stop drinking, right? But the truth about it is that we don't drink alcohol for any of those reasons at all. We drink alcohol because we're addicted to it, because alcohol is a drug. And believe you me, when you have that realization that you're actually an addict and that alcohol is a drug and you can't stop drinking because you are addicted to it, that is a bit of a light bulb moment for a lot of people. It certainly was for me, right? So that rounds up the truth part of it. So we're designed to drink from birth. It wasn't a conscious choice. And the reason that we drink it and we can't stop anymore is we're addicted to it, right? So that's like the truth part of it. Where does the awareness come into this? Well, because of what I've just talking about in the truth element here, what has happened is in our brain, okay, we have now created a set of rules around how we should act and behave in certain environments, right? So for example, if we go to a wedding, our brain tells us that we're supposed to act and behave in a certain way. And part of that will be toasting the bride and drinking later on with everybody. If we go to a wake, then part of that would be we're all raising a glass to the person who's just died, and we're all going to drink ourselves into a stupor and start crying all the time, right? And when we walk into a pub, we order a pint. When we're with the lads after football, we order a pint. There's all these rules that we've created, okay, in our minds, and these are known as declarative memories. And I'm not going to go into it in this podcast here, but if you are ever a member of the intensive, this is something that we talk about, how our brain works. Kind of like the science behind what is happening, how our brain is always in the search of the most efficient way of acting, and in that search, it doesn't want us to think too hard about what to do under any given situation. So if we've been designed from birth to drink alcohol, okay, then a lot of our scripts that our subconscious mind plays out to us In any given moment, okay, such as, for example, you jump into a car and you want to drive it, so a script will play on how you're supposed to drive a car. You don't, your brain suddenly is not having any part of playing this. Your body is taken over. Your feet and your arms and your hands and your fingers, it just knows how to drive a car. Like, I haven't driven a car for 5 months. I'm going to go back to the UK on the weekend, I'll hire one, and boom, I won't have to think about how to drive a car, right? It is just literally a non-declarative memory. Okay, so now we know how the brain works, or you will if you take the intensive, you'll understand that what has happened in a sense here is you've been brainwashed to believe that alcohol is normal and pleasurable, and as a result of that, coupled with the fact that it's an addictive drug, each time you're in a particular environment, or you're with a particular group of people, or you experience a particular emotion, or an event happens in your life, that all of these things are then linked to I will drink alcohol, then it's very, very difficult to do anything else other than that, because you can't always apply rational logic to it when your body's just kind of taken over. You can't apply rational logic to it when your emotions have taken over, right? So understanding how the three brains work, the neocortex, the limbic brain, and the cerebellum, and how that ties into your addiction is hugely important. Because now you know that it works that way, and that you can be brainwashed, and you are brainwashed into believing alcohol contains certain life-changing prophetic qualities. Well, now you can. The obvious question is, well, if my brain can be brainwashed for me to think that alcohol is normal and pleasurable, can it be brainwashed for me to think that alcohol is a pile of shit? The answer is yeah. But only once you know the truth about alcohol, only once you have somebody like myself and the Truth About Alcohol Ambassadors guiding you by the hand through a certain philosophy that is set up in the correct way for you to maximize the retention of this knowledge and this understanding in what we call neuroplasticity, changing different the ways in which our brain works, okay? Our belief systems and our worldviews and our values, most of these are set in stone by the time you reach sweet 16. But doesn't mean they're not changeable. It's just very difficult and very challenging, okay? But with the right kind of community support and programs and mentors, no problem. So the way that I became someone that doesn't drink alcohol was by changing the way I think about alcohol, Karen. So I no longer believe that alcohol is normal and pleasurable. I believe that alcohol is fucking Satan's spawn, right? I hate it with a passion. It's a fucking life breaker. It's the world's biggest con. And the fact that it's conned so many people that I love, okay, it drives me insane to even think about it, that people are drinking it. And because of that reason, and because of the way that I think about alcohol now, I no longer ever think, when I'm in certain situations like a wedding or a funeral or listening to a certain song or being in a pub or a disco or whatever, I never think about drinking alcohol, because my worldview has changed, my values have changed, my personality have changed, I have changed. I am no longer someone that drinks alcohol. I am no longer someone thinking about whether or not I drink alcohol or not. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol, okay? So that is how you become someone that doesn't drink alcohol. Then the final part of this equation, which is really important, and I'm just walking around in circles here, is freedom. Once you become someone who doesn't drink alcohol, what is to prevent you from drinking again, okay, if everybody around you is desperately trying to get you to drink, and the environment of which you exist in is designed to get you to drink alcohol, right? How do you do that? Well, that's more work that you need in terms of, you need to think to yourself, like, who am I surrounding myself with? Okay, are they, what value are they bringing to my life? If I am the sum total of the five people I spend the most time with, are these the five people I want to spend my time with? You know, I did a podcast recently that said you are the sum, you drink the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? So who are you spending your time with? I spend all my time with people who hardly ever drink. So I drink the average of those people. But back when I was a drinker in 2009, If I surrounded myself with people who drank a lot of alcohol, hey, how's it going? Then I would drink more. The friends who drank the more, when I hung around with them, I drank more. Also, if I hang around in certain situations and environments where there's a lot of alcohol, I'm more likely to drink alcohol, right? So freedom is all about community. It's all about being seen, being heard. It's all about being respected and not judged and being allowed to flourish in this new and familiar personality and role that you're adopting as someone who doesn't drink alcohol, okay? This is where the communities like Strive are really important. Communities like Alcoholics Anonymous, communities like This Naked Mind, communities like 1 Year No Beer. It's really important to embrace a philosophy, grab onto a story or a narrative that speaks to you. Maybe my narrative speaks to you, maybe Annie's does or Holly's, whatever. But the most important thing is you find somebody or a group where you feel comfortable talking about anything. Anything. Imagine like the worst taboo you could think of, that you don't think you can talk to somebody, and all of a sudden you have someone saying, "Tell me about it." And then you do, and they're like, "Yeah, I think like that as well." Like, how liberating that is when we live in a world where our mouths are clamped shut 24/7, right? Let the van pass, man. So freedom, really important. I would say that freedom is the most important part of the jigsaw piece for me. If you pick up a book like Alan Carr, for example, or lots of other programs out there that help you stop drinking alcohol, a lot of them miss this fundamentally important part of how you integrate yourself back into society. So there you are, Karen. I'm going to go back in the house and get on, do some work. I hope that was really, really helpful to you. If you've got any questions on any of that, give me a shout at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com. Or if anyone has any questions on anything I just said. If you want to learn more about the Truth, Awareness and Freedom modules of the Truth About Alcohol philosophy, then my suggestion to you would be to check out the Taster. The Taster begins every month. Every calendar month, where we will be releasing 27 videos consecutively, where you get a little bit more, a deeper flavor of truth, freedom, and awareness, or join Strive. Join Strive and start talking to people about these things, asking questions like you asked me, like, how is this possible? Ask people and then start to kind of like soak in that knowledge. Those will be my two pieces of advice to you. If you feel that you never ever want to drink alcohol again, you're dead certain on that fact, and you want to be like me, someone who doesn't drink alcohol, then take the intensive. The intensive is an annual subscription of The Truth About Alcohol, where you will get stuck into over 70 different coaching videos, working with Truth About Alcohol ambassadors, having weekly online meetup groups, the whole shebang. Okay, all of these experiences, you can find them at thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk. Okay, take care of yourself, Karen, and it's good to have you here. Bye-bye.
Ruth said she loved where she was just after 30 days of working on the Truth About Alcohol Taster. Sue said the Truth About Alcohol Taster was hand on heart the best decision she ever made. "I have learned that alcohol is no place in my life and I am no longer alone," said Rhonda. Jennifer said the intensive helped her beyond just quitting drinking. She now leads a fuller, more awakened life. Nikki said the intensive brought a depth of awareness that has changed the way she now views the world. Talking about the intensive, Maureen said, "You will not regret taking this experience, but you will regret passing it up. Shit gets real. You are in it. And that, for me, is reason enough to dive in. The self-growth and discovery it offers is profound, as are the connections you make." Talking about Strive, Bonnie said the people in Strive felt like new friends with lots of wonderful support for each other. Tony said Strive is inclusive and supportive. There is so much empathy, understanding and encouragement. And this is where I am not a number on a balance sheet. This is where I found home. Julian said, "I believe we are defined by the people and ideas we surround ourselves with. And so the warmth, support and personal growth I found at Strive make it the place I want to be, the place I
have to be. You drank alone. Do not quit alone. Head to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and invest in yourself today. Become someone that doesn't drink alcohol.